This is Prabhupada's disappearance day. Tito Bhav Tithi Mahotsava, the day which he left the world. I thought I muted the phone, but I still hear someone. But anyways. And I thought I would just talk about Prabhupada, because it's also Prabhupada's disappearance day there in the morning. Om Jnana Timurandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Vaksuran Malatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manovistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Dayambu Pakadamayam Vidati Sapadantikam Panchakalpa Tarubhyastha Kripashindu Bayevucha Patitanam Pavanevyo Vaishnavevyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Greetings from Govardhan. Anyway, it's just been wonderful, so deep. The level of association here, the atmosphere. It's just a dream. And it gives you a realization that bhakti is not from the mind or the intelligence. It's an energy that Krishna gives you. And that energy is called bhav. And therefore, because it's an energy that Krishna gives you, it's not dependent on the mind or the body. And we get a drop of it here. Just the association and the absorption is just so deep. But it reminded me a little bit about Prabhupada. In Prabhupada's last days, you know, he was translating the Bhagavatam, and, you know, in yoga, you know, if you want to meditate, you do asana, because asana keeps the body sukha and sthira. It keeps it happy, and it keeps it steady. And we all know if the body is disturbed, you really can't meditate. And there's probably no deeper meditation than writing commentaries on the Bhagavatam. I remember we used to wake up in the morning and look out from our room in the ISKCON guest house where we were staying, and we would look down and see Prabhupada on his porch translating. So he had the commentaries in Sanskrit, maybe 10, 12, something commentaries in Sanskrit. And he'd read them, and then in his mind, he would have to compose the purport and then dictate it. And it would take so much concentration. But we know that in Prabhupada's last days, you know, he was in a very painful condition. I remember I was in his room. Bibi Govindaswamy at that time, the Yogyapati, told me, you know, you can go into Prabhupada's room any time now. Towards the last couple of weeks, Prabhupada just entered the door. Man, woman, anyone can go in there any time and sit by Prabhupada's bed. No protocol or anything. He just opened the doors. There weren't that many people in the project, so it wasn't that crowded. But my service literally started at 4:30 in the morning and went till 8 o'clock at night. I mean, I didn't have a minute. But people go business for me, so they opened the doors, so why don't you just go in before Mangal Arati? So I would go in very, very early and chant my rounds, sitting in Prabhupada's room, and sometimes I was alone just with his assistant. And one day I heard Prabhupada scream, actually, out of pain. He said, Krishna. And Balananda asked me to go on Prabhupada's bed and pick him up with Bhavananda and help adjust his body. So that was the condition. It wasn't sukha and sthira. It was a lot of pain. Yet Prabhupada is able to translate the Bhagavatam on his back. They were reading him the commentaries, and then he would comment. I mean, and if you read those commentaries, they're probably the deepest commentaries in the whole Bhagavatam, and some of the most lucid. So that kind of indicated that Prabhupada was involved, that there was an energy that was beyond the body. Even though, as Prabhupada said, I remember he came in the room for the last time and he was carried in the arms of Brahmananda Prabhu, like the Pieta, like Haridas Thakur, in the arms of Lord Chaitanya. You know, he came for the last time. He was so sick, came from Mumbai by train. And they picked him up and we were waiting for him. And he just folded his hands and looked at us with such humility and said, Krishna Tvadiya Parapankaja Pankara Jam Majeva Me Manasaraj and Ajeva Me Manasaraj. Let me die now when the swan of my mind is entangled with the lotus of your feet. Otherwise, at the time of death, how will I remember you? So it's pretty amazing that Prabhupada was in such consciousness. And the day was just phenomenal. It was just so absorbing. I didn't even look at my watch. I just wake up very early and I chant. I chanted all the way up to the program at 9 and went to the program, and it was just by Sheshika, who is such a charger. It's a spiritual, I don't know, such a devotee. And he was like an orchestra. An orchestra has different talents, but they all fit together to create a sound. And that's what it's like. Each person that spoke was so different. Each person that spoke was so different. I mean, Radhanath Swami, he spoke very shortly, but it was just, describing what Prabhupada was doing on this very day 50 years ago. And it was just very moving, and just praying to the devotees, so heartfelt. And Borijan was just so philosophically deep, and the appreciations of Prabhupada, it was an ocean of Prabhupada. And every single person was just extraordinary. My favorite, and I also went this evening and I spoke. Amazing at Radhanath Swami's program, they have a pandal, and it's like 5,000 people. You're sitting on a stage facing Govardhan, and there's like a sea of devotees. But it's very high tech, too, with screens at different places, so if you're far away, you can still. And this very sweet devotee, I pray that someday you can meet her, because I've never seen anybody. Met anybody as sweet in my life, practically. And she would come to my classes every day. I have classes in the evening at 4, just with a few select devotees. But somehow she would come. And she's really the person who, not known, actually, it's not so well known, but she's the person who actually spread Krishna consciousness in Russia. And even though she's from France, and she told her story, and it was so amazing. She was just a young girl, and somehow from France, visiting London, and went to Berry Street and met with Shamsundar and Malati and Jamuna and Guru Das and Mukunda and Janaki, and became a devotee, and she became the Pujari of Radha Lundanishwara. And then she read the Bhagavatam, and something in the Bhagavatam struck her. This is an amazing story. Something to the effect that if the spiritual master gives you an instruction, even if it's challenging, and if you say yes, you know, it's the greatest spiritual benediction or something. So she thought this is wonderful. So she went to the deities and prayed deeply. She went to the deities and prayed very, very deeply that, please, Prabhupada, give me some challenge and let me say yes. And then, make a long story short, you know, Prabhupada went to Russia, and it was very disappointing. And then somehow the day before he left, Mukunda Shamsunda went shopping, and he met this one boy, Anatoly, and brought him back. And Prabhupada spent 2 days preaching to him. I don't know, he somehow told Prabhupada, if you could send me a wife that knows the philosophy, you know, then I can spread your movement all over Russia, something like that. Then when Prabhupada came back from Russia, somehow she was called up to Prabhupada's room. Prabhupada, I mean, the way she tells it is just, but I'm just, and, you know, Prabhupada asked her, you know, I have this boy and he needs a wife. Could you go and marry him? And she said, and she remembered what she prayed for, and she said yes. And Prabhupada smiled from ear to ear. And then she would go 3 times a year. And the story, how she met him, and they would communicate in English, and he was a smart guy, and she would preach, and, you know, that's how Krishna consciousness started in Russia. And this lady is just the abode of culture and the abode of sweetness. You can't, it's an incarnation of sweetness. And the devotees are practically giving her a standing ovation. And she was probably unknown for many, many years, as many senior devotees became discouraged or disappointed and kind of distanced themselves. And I don't know how, but she's back, and the devotees in Russia have adopted her. They just take care of her and love her to such a degree. And I guess she spends time with them, and but it's a beautiful thing. And but anyway, all the devotees spoke, and there was just so many beautiful realizations. I hope I can remember them. Anyway, it's just people just told their stories. And Boyajan, one thing that impressed me, what he said is how difficult it was to be before Prabhupada. And he described that Prabhupada is like the sun. So it's like fire. And to be with him, you have to be fire. And if you're not, everything else gets burned. And then he asked Prabhupada how to be humble, and Prabhupada said, be patient. And then Srila Prabhupada said, an old man can't be proud, because all his upadis are destroyed. Everything, you know, your upadi, my beautiful smile, my athleticism, my health. And one devotee explained how there's a verse that says, you know, I'm just running after Guru. And the commentary was, the reason you're running after Guru is because the Guru is running after Krishna. So you have to keep up with him. And Vaisheshya Bhue said that when he reads Prabhupada's books, he meditates on how much energy Prabhupada put into writing them and how much more energy that is than reading them, and that he should try to put more energy into reading them. Anyway, somehow I'm not able to communicate, maybe because it's the end of the day. And but it was just such a, it's like I said, like an orchestra. It has a conductor, and individual talents are not expressed, are united beyond the common interest. So it was all about Prabhupada. And, you know, everyone had their, it was beautiful. I mean, you know, there's a trumpet, and there's a violinist, and there's, everyone was different, but coordinated in a selfless way to this objective. And, you know, there's a main one in Vrindavan, but we had Bir Krishna Maharaj, Bori Jam Prabhu, Sachinandana Swami, Radhanath Swami, Hobby, the only ISKCON Grammy winner, Aisheshika Prabhu, Chandramali Swami, and Mandakini, Jagatarini. And it's just, there was absolutely no ego. And because the self was so removed from every activity, even in the glorifications, there was no one up there trying to entertain. Everyone was trying to serve. That it was the spiritual world. It's just an ocean of love flowing. You actually get a sense of what it means to live in the spiritual world. You have an experience of that. And even in a prasadam, the way it was served, Avi turned to me and said, this is the best, and he's a connoisseur, this is the best prasad I ever tasted. It wasn't such an elaborate feast. I mean, of course, there were kachoris and pakoras and chutney and dal and two subjis and rice and glob jumbins and cake. And, you know, okay, it was. But the way, the lack of anxiety, and then even after prasadam, how everyone just stayed around in groups and continued to glorify Prabhupada. And somehow usually, I don't know what it is, with senior devotees, they're running off or that or that. It was purely, usually, you know, for preaching, people have to take, you know, they have to take the center. It just was so Prabhupada-centered and Krishna-centered. I'm trying to communicate it. But it creates such a, it, when I say a bhava, I mean there's an energy beyond your mind. In other words, you're not creating the feeling. You're living in the feeling that's created by the group of which you're in. And I just noticed, and I turned around, I was meeting people and just exchanging, and I turned around, and after about an hour, Radhanath Swami, Sachinandana Swami, Vaisheshika Prabhu, Chandramali, so we're just sitting, still just sitting, timelessly sitting, timelessly relishing. And then I just, you know, about 3 o'clock, I was finished, and I'd been up since one, and just took a nap, and then went over to the evening program of 6,000 devotees, where we continued that glorification. And I'll share a little bit about, you know, what my inspiration was for the day. I really wanted to talk about the potency of the dust of Prabhupada's lotus feet as mercy that is beyond the laws of nature, but under the will of God, and therefore mystical, because it's beyond the laws of nature. It surmounts the laws of nature. So, you know, I described how that realization came. I was walking around Govardhan Hill in the morning, and absolutely you know, like by Sheshudabhu, that there's some kind of current, spiritual current that like flows under the ground around the hill. And you come in contact with that current, which is a certain love of Godhead. It's the only way you can explain it. And I'm going around the hill, and some thought comes to me about what I'm going to speak on. And then also, how, what, you know, kind of composing the class. And I wanted to share this inspiration I had about Prabhupada's potency of the dust of Prabhupada's lotus feet. And the realization came to me in a very interesting way. I was being interviewed for a documentary film on relationship between hardcore and Krishna consciousness. And when I was talking about that, you know, I had a realization that, okay, the hardcore and the relationship with Krishna consciousness started in Tompkins Square Park, where Lakshmi Nisringa was organizing food distribution to the hardcore concerts. And therefore, you know, from that, then Raghunath got introduced by those people, and then hundreds and hundreds of people. You know, I was preaching for so many years in New York, if one person came in the door, we'd be beyond overwhelmed. But then all of a sudden, so many people. I think practically all my disciples are from that scene, at least the first 90%. And so then my realization was that, you know, preaching Krishna consciousness, like, you know, mining for gold, it comes in veins. So the first vein was the hippies. And the Lower East Side. And, you know, Prabhupada mined that vein. And then the next vein was the hardcore, starting the Lower East Side. And then the next vein is really the yoga preaching, burgeoning. And as I'm speaking to the lady, I realize that the center of it is the bhakti center in the Lower East Side. So the three main veins, at least for America, maybe the world, but let's say America, the main veins of mining Krishna consciousness are on the Lower East Side. You can say it's New York, but it can happen any place in New York. Yoga is not particularly in the Lower East Side. So I'm saying, why is it the same place? And I said the only answer I could come up with was the dust of the lotus feet of Prabhupada, which walk those streets. That's all. It's, you know, it's beyond, it's just beyond coincidence. I said, like, one argument for the existence of God can be the law of coincidence. The law of coincidence. It's just beyond any other explanation. That dust of the lotus feet of Prabhupada. And then I gave other examples of Krishna circumventing the dust of the lotus feet of Prabhupada, giving one the power to circumvent the laws of nature. And I gave, and the dust of the lotus feet of Prabhupada, you know, it's like in the Bhakti Sandarbha, it says Padasevana. And Padasevana means serving lotus feet. It means humble service. Humble service means the feet. Does the feet represent the lowest part of the body? To serve the lowest is the part of the body. To serve the lowest part of the body is, you know, humble service. So the power of that humble service to Prabhupada, the power of that dust of Prabhupada's lotus feet that comes from humble service, gives a mercy that's mystical. And I gave the example of people passing away. And I gave the example of Gopi Pranadatta, who is a great, he would live here in Govardhan. I miss him dearly. And, you know, he was so dedicated to Prabhupada. And, you know, Borijan was making the point that, you know, he asked Prabhupada, sometimes in your presence I'm very high and sometimes I'm not. And why? And Prabhupada said, the intoxication of Maya is very strong. Even in the proximity of Prabhupada, in the proximity of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, in the execution of devotional service even, in leading a kirtan and giving a Bhagavatam class, so many things can appropriate the ego. So many things can appropriate the ego. So certainly being a Sanskrit scholar, I have knowledge, I know the inner language. It's been the doom of many, many devotees. But Gopi studied, read everything, and never deviated an inch from the simple conclusions of Prabhupada and his service. And phenomenal what he translated and the service he did. And then he began to preach, and he was preaching in Europe, and he was just coming to Govardhan, which was his residence, for one day. And then the next day, leaving for China, and then he passes away in Govardhan. That's not just random material laws. That's the direct intervention of Krishna to someone who is taking the dust of Prabhupada's lotus feet on his head. Another instance, I was in Mayapur. I was giving class, and this guy came in. He just, you know, looked about 60 years old, and he wasn't in a dhoti, and he had, his hair was, you know, not long, and, you know, kind of looked a little bit hippie-ish, maybe not clean shaven, but hair. And when the kirtan started, he picked up the kartals, and I said, oh my God, oh no, this new guy is picking up the kartals. And he played him like so expertly. It was amazing. And then afterwards he came to me and he was so nice. And I thought, this person is so nice. And then the next day he was coming to my class and he died. He was riding a bike and he died. He was a devotee for 45 years. That was the first time he was in India. The first time he was in the Dham. And Krishna takes him. His name was Hasyagami. He was the driver for Vishnu John. He was, you know, one of the musicians and the early Vaikuntha players. You know, had a kirtan band with Falabhadra in Atlanta. And it was so interesting because in the class, he didn't even have the upadhi, I am a Prabhupada disciple. I didn't know. I thought he was a new person. But again, somehow or other, in his heart, he took shelter of Prabhupada and got the dust of the lotus feet of Prabhupada on his head. And therefore, Krishna circumvented the laws of nature to arrange that. And then the example Borijan gave this of Sarab. Sarab was the architect. Prabhupada kind of, he tells the whole story, he had some experience. Prabhupada just empowered him to be the architect for all his temples in India. And then, you know, he left for about 30 years or something. And then recently came back to the 40th anniversary, then found out he had cancer. Somehow decided to go back to Vrindavan and died after 2 days. The only 2 days, because he went to the... gotten in 40 years, he's in Vrindavan and he dies. Why? Because somehow or other, he took the dust of the lotus feet of Prabhupada on his head by somehow sacrificing it. And then many people spoke about Brahmananda. You know, how he used to leave Vrindavan and just keeled over. and how he got Prabhupada out of the hospital. They wheeled his bed out of the hospital. Prabhupada didn't want to be in the hospital. He told Brahmananda, "You saved me from the hot, one day I'll save you." And his brother said, "That's exactly what happened." And Bhurijan just told the story of what was in the heart of such a person. How do you get that dusty lotus feet? Prabhupada would ask him anything, and he would just do it. Anything. And Prabhupada asked him to go to Pakistan. And it was during the Bangladesh-Pakistan War. And then Prabhupada got a message that read a newspaper article that 4 Hare Krishnas were killed in Pakistan, and Prabhupada was just heartbroken. He thought Brahmananda and Garga Muni had died. He thought they had died. And then somehow or other, Brahmananda sent a message, and Prabhupada was so relieved. Prabhupada sent him a telegraph, said, "Come immediately." And then he came. And Bhurijan tells this story, just what a surrendered devotee was. Somehow take into your heart the mission of the spiritual master as your life and soul. And then Prabhupada was so relieved. Prabhupada couldn't sleep. And then he got there, Prabhupada was talking, he said, "Well, you know, how many books did you distribute? And you know, how many books did you share?" And he said, "Well, none, Prabhupada." The Prabhupada said, your whole mission was a failure. And Bhurijan said, he would cringe. The Brahmana, he just took the message to heart, and then Prabhupada sent him to Africa, and then, you know, he distributed Prabhupada's books and spread Krishna consciousness. And you know, just somehow or other, there's that kind of mercy. And I explain my own story where I, for 4 years, couldn't fully surrender to Krishna, which was moving in the temple at that time, and I struggled with it. And I just couldn't come to the, I couldn't have the courage, or I couldn't make the decision. And when Prabhupada invited us, the devotees, up to his room to get prasadam, and I bit into those rasgullas, and it just wasn't, "Oh, these are so great, I have to join." There was something that circumvented any other laws. I wasn't convinced intellectually. Prabhupada didn't clear any of my doubts. I don't know. But somehow or other, it was so mystical in my heart that conviction came. You know, it's mystical. And then I kind of finish with a story that I heard from Nayana Baram just recently when I took lunch with him in New York. And he joined at 26 Second Avenue, and he told me this story, and I told it. I told it at Radhastami too, but those of you weren't there. You know, he joined with one lady who hated men. And then she took initiation, you know. She really hated men. But she took initiation, and then after being in the temple for, like, I don't know, 7-8 months, she revealed her mind to Prabhupada. And she said to Prabhupada, "Prabhupada, you know, I just can't stand worshiping that man, Krishna." Prabhupada said, "That's okay, just worship Radha." And I asked the devotees to meditate on that. And what are the qualities in Prabhupada that story exemplifies? I mean, there are many qualities. What I like is that Prabhupada was empowering. Prabhupada looked at the goal. Because Pierre Krishnamurti really spoke about how Prabhupada was not judgmental. He wasn't judgmental. So I just felt like that. Here was a lady who hated men, just worship Radha. Prabhupada with interest was, you know, just seeing somehow or other how people can be enthused in Krishna consciousness. He wasn't a bureaucrat just telling you no, 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 no. When he saw a little spark, he encouraged it. He empowered it. Anyway, in that kind of way, we really had such a love for Prabhupada. It was just so deep. And, it was a hobby story about meeting the devotees in Israel. And Hare Krishna, this is Dhanadhar Swami. Would anybody like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, this is Henry. You know, I had a comment, actually, and a question.
Henry. Please. Yeah. Okay. What is that, Henry?
You know, I got to, Mandakini was staying with Yamuna one time when I went to Sharanagati, and, you know, they were just so wonderful together, and she was just such a wonderful devotee, and, she was just, a sweetness personified, and Yamuna was really glorifying her, and Yamuna arranged for me to do some service for her. And I'm really happy about that. And, and that's my comment. And I also have a question. Have you seen Ritattvija Swami there in Vrindavan?
He left because Giriraj Swami somehow got sick and couldn't come. And being who Ritattvija Swami is, he felt it was more important to go be with Giriraj Swami than to enjoy the Dham himself. So he left, and therefore he had to do some things in China first. He spent a month in China and then go and spend time with Giriraj Swami. And I saw him once, yes, or twice. But that's what happened.
We want the gap.
Okay, and nice that you met Mandakini, and I could just see how Jamuna must have loved her, you know. Yeah. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
What a wonderful class. I feel so happy to hear everything you said. I really, really touched my heart today.
When you hear about Prabhupada like that, it's just so wonderful. Yes, thank you. Good. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, please accept my humble.
Who's that? Nandadula,
thank
you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj, can you hear me?
Hare Gopal. Who's
that? This is Gail.
Who is that?
This is Gail. Gail.
Hare Krishna, Gail.
Maharaj, the name of the person.
Anybody else like to say?
The name of the person who is the incarnation of sweetness. I think Henry was probably talking about him. I didn't catch her name.
Mandakini.
What was it?
Mandakini. Mandakini.
Oh, okay.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Anybody else like to say hello?
Chaitanya
Priya. Hare Krishna. Thanks for being on.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Very inspiring class.
Anybody else like to? Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is Vajrade.
Hare Bhav, Vajrade. A few more before I go. Anybody else?
Hare Bhav, Maharaj, Shastra Das.
Anybody else like to Shastra, see you soon.
Yes,
good.
Yes.
A few more. Anybody else? Anybody else say hello? Okay, we'll end. Bunch of hope to do this.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.